Come plan your dream wedding all in one day at the 17th Annual Newport Bridal Show on March 3rd. Meet with more than 80 top wedding professionals at two of Newport's most romantic venues, Rose Cliff and Ocean Cliff Mansions. Visit NewportBridalShow.net to buy your ticket today.
Hello, people of the internet. My name is Chris Comer, and you are listening to 5-Minute Reviews, the show where I go over 3 movies in 15 minutes and tell you whether or not you should spend your money on them. However, today I am talking about Oscar nominees. So I would argue that most of these films, if not all of them, are worth your money and your time. Today I wanted to talk about a category that is very near and dear to me, and that is Best Animated Feature. I'm very passionate about this. I've loved animation since I was a child, and there are a lot of great movies that I wanted to talk about that are up for the category this year, including the likes of The Isle of Dogs, Incredibles 2, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which are the 3 movies I wanted to talk to you about today. Starting off with The Isle of Dogs, I gotta tell you guys, this is a strange film. It is odd, to say the least. It's got a star-studded cast, including the likes of Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Jeff Goldblum, Scarlett Johansson, and Tilda Swinton. God, that's a mouthful. I gotta tell you, I call this movie strange and odd because it is. The pacing is a little slower than your typical animated film. The humor is a little bit dark, and while I find the stop-motion animation breathtaking and captivating and truly shows how much love and hard work went into this movie, I would say that for younger children, they might find it a little off-putting, a little creepy, so I wouldn't recommend taking younger kids to this. In fact, I would argue that this film is targeted more towards an older sort of not 13 and up, I would say, but maybe like 10 and up sort of audience. But as I said, the stop motion animation is absolutely breathtaking. It's gorgeous. I mean, the claymation figures each have so many expressions, so many faces, and it is absolutely incredible. I mean, the environments around them, I can't imagine the hours that were put into making these beautiful environments. And the story is a little strange. So essentially, the mayor of this town has excommunicated all dogs for whatever reason and sent them to what is known as Trash Island. There's a little boy who's his dog gets sent away, as with all the dogs, because the dogs are sick. They have a disease, so they send the dogs away. But this boy misses his dog, so he goes to Trash Island to find his dog, and him and all these other dogs that he meets along the way go on a quest to go find him. It is, and that seems a little heartwarming at first, but I mean, there's some dark kind of moments in this. The comedy is very a little edgy. Like, I went with a friend of mine, and she was really not into it because there were times when the dogs got hurt, and that would be upsetting to her. And you know, I could laugh at it because, you know, these are fictional dogs. But if you know you have a younger child, that might be a little offsetting. Like I said, the film is very slow. It doesn't, you know, the dialogue is few and far between. It focuses a lot on the visuals, and that is where the money is in this movie, to be sure. Even though the humans all speak Japanese and the dogs all speak English and there's a miscommunication there, and I'm only getting really half the story, I will say I was able to follow along and understand the plight of these dogs and understand what was going on in the human world as well, despite not being able to understand the language. Now, as for the star-studded cast, they are not sort of over the top with it. Like, a lot of celebrity voice actors will go crazy over the top with their voices or not do any kind of voice acting at all. And I would argue that they're, I mean, not do any voice acting. I mean, they wouldn't do a ton with their role. I would argue that they didn't do a ton with their voices in this movie, like alter their voices, but they really got into the characters, and I could tell. That said, it's not a perfect movie. It, as I said, it's a little slow, it's a little weird, and if you're not into that, that's kind of, you know, what the film's all about. So I don't know what else to tell you. But I think this movie's worth a lot of people's time. If you appreciate good animation, this is a good movie for you. It is absolutely breathtaking, and the animators on this film deserve all the credit that they can. So I think it's worth your money and your time. Next up, we have Incredibles 2. Now, I waited 14 years for this movie and was worth it. Have no complaints. This movie was great. Well, I do have some complaints, and I'll get into them. But the 3D animation has come so far since 2004 when the original Oscar-winning film came out, and it's amazing that a sequel is also nominated for an Oscar. That almost never happens. But the animation is incredible. I recognize these characters right away, but I could also tell that their sort of graphics had been updated. It was just, you know, all these characters were incredible and so immediately recognizable, especially by their voices, because the entire original voice cast has reprised their roles, including the likes of, the original voice of Mr. Incredible, Elastigirl, Violet and Dash, Samuel L. Jackson has returned as Frozone. I mean, this was a long time coming, and I am so happy with the final product. And you know what? If I have to wait another 14 years for another one of these or something of this quality to come out from Pixar, then I'll do it every single time. This is an incredible film, and I can't wait for the next one if they're coming out with it. Now, this movie is sort of refreshing in a sense, very refreshing. It's different than what's coming out of Disney a lot these days for multiple reasons. Disney has sort of lost their soul in a sense with all these live action remakes and sequels to movies, and I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Star Wars, but there's a lot of that going on right now, and a movie like Incredibles 2 is so refreshing because it's a family movie. It's a movie about a family, but it's also a superhero movie, and I would argue that the family bits are just as entertaining, if not more so, than the crime-fighting bits. In this one, it focuses on Elastigirl rather than Mr. Incredible. Elastigirl is the one going off doing all the crime-fighting, and Mr. Incredible is staying at home and trying his hand at being a stay-at-home father, and he's struggling with it, and there are some really genuine moments, some funny moments between him and his children, between him and Violet, Dash, and even the baby Jack-Jack has some great scenes. And it also, this movie introduces a lot of new superheroes that the Incredibles sort of serve as mentors to, and that is, and it's nice to see, and I would love to see them do more with these characters. Maybe they get their own spin-off movie, maybe they make an appearance in Incredibles 3 if that ever comes out, hopefully, fingers crossed. More on this movie. So what sets it apart from other superhero movies of the day is, first of all, it takes place in the 60s, which is super cool, very Cold War, almost like, I wouldn't say James Bond, but very kind of spy, like super spy, like kind of like that. These are superheroes, but they have to keep their identities and the secret, and the fact that they're acting as superheroes secret because superheroes are outlawed in this world. I will say, this movie is entertaining from beginning to end, and it's a great movie to take your kids to. They'll love it. You'll love it. For older audiences like myself, and maybe, for if you're going to see this movie, like if you're 13 and up or 12 and up, it's a little predictable. The first Incredibles was predictable, but it was on purpose. You knew who the villain was right away, but that was because the villain was in the first act, and they showed you why he was so upset. This one was predictable on accident. There was a plot twist, but you knew who the villain was right away. And if you go see this movie, or I guess if you watch it on Netflix now, it's not in theaters anymore. Watch it on Netflix or get it on DVD. Spend your money on this movie somehow because it's incredible. Seriously, for lack of better words. That said, it's a little predictable. The plot twists are a little weak, to say the least, you know? But seriously, this movie is a blast, and I would recommend it to anyone who likes superhero movies, who likes family movies. If you like movies, you'll like Incredibles too. The third and final film I want to talk about today is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Now, this movie centers around Miles Morales, the ultimate Spider-Man. Now, you may be wondering, wait, isn't Peter Parker Spider-Man? Well, no, not in this universe. Now, that is actually the crux of this whole film. In this movie, there are multiple universes and multiple Spider-Men strewn across all of them. The whole theme of this movie, and they say it quite a bit in the movie, is that anybody can wear the mask. Anybody can be Spider-Man. You just have to believe, in a sort of sense. It's a leap of faith. And Spider-Man and Miles is new to being Spider-Man, and he's, you know, he's 14, 15, he's young, inexperienced, he has kind of no idea what he's doing. He gets his costume from, like, a costume store down the street, And luckily for him, multiple Spider-Men, through circumstances that I won't get into because that's a spoiler, are summoned to his universe, and one of those Spider-Men is Peter Parker. However, this is not the Peter Parker that we all know and love. This is an older Peter Parker, a sort of grizzled one. He is 40 years old. He's got a troubled home life. He's a bit depressed. He's kind of lost his, not his will to live, I would say, but his, you know, his will to, you know, keep being Spider-Man and keep being a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's sort of, you know, kind of had it, you know, because he's older, and we never got to see that side of Peter. We always see him as the teenager or the college student, but this is a more mature Peter, and he is reluctantly agrees to train Miles, provided Miles can get him and the other Spider-Men and women home. And I should get into the spider people in this film. There is Spider-Man Noir, voiced by Nicolas Cage, and Spider-Pig, voiced by, or Spider-Ham, I should say, voiced by John Mulaney. And these two are so funny. John Mulaney is sort of a Looney Tunes-esque character. Spider-Ham is sort of like, almost like Porky Pig, sort of, but in a spider suit. And Spider-Man Noir, voiced by Nicolas Cage, is all black and white, and he's kind of like if Batman were Spider-Man, and he's from like the 30s, and he's kind of, and it's very, 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 very funny, because he sees color for the first time, and it blows him away. And then there's Penny Parker, who in her universe is the granddaughter of Spider-Man, and she has a robot spider that fights for her, and I think that's a very cool approach to Spider-Man. And each of these characters gets their own arc, but it never detracts too much from Miles. And then there's also Spider-Woman, voiced by Hailee Steinfeld, from the likes of True Grit and The Edge of 17, and she is absolutely incredible, and I've heard that Spider-Woman might be getting her own movie, which I hope is the case, because her character was pretty dynamic, and I would love to see them do a movie with her as well. And I would love to see Miles again. Now, back to Miles. He is sort of struggling because he can't tell anybody that he is Spider-Man. He can't tell his family. And his father is a police officer who is hunting down Spider-Man, making it a little more dynamic. There's a whole lot of plot to this movie that I could get into, but I think you should just spend your money on this movie. It is as close to a comic book come to life as you can get. It is currently still in theaters, in select theaters. If you can get to go see it before the Oscars, I would recommend it. But if you want to wait for a DVD release, I understand. Wait for DVD, wait for Netflix, Hulu, wherever it goes, because it's going to go somewhere. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about this movie's soundtrack. I mean, it perfectly captures an urban New York vibe. It is mostly hip-hop and R&B, and it is so good. I find myself listening to it almost all the time when I'm in the shower, when I'm at work, you know, all types of places I am listening to this soundtrack because it is so good. It feels almost like an original score because a lot of these songs were written for the movie, you know, I generally prefer an original score as opposed to a soundtrack of songs just kind of thrown together, but this is basically an original score because most of these songs were written for the movie, including Sunflower by Post Malone. And if you ever get a chance, check that song out because it is super good. This movie is 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, and I would extremely recommend it if you are into superheroes. If you're into, I already said it about Incredibles, but if you're into movies, then these three movies are kind of for you. The movies I've talked about today are phenomenal and all worth your time. So please go check out Isle of Dogs, Incredibles 2, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse especially. Take care, and thanks for listening.